At Avocado, we know that not all mattresses are created equal. While other beds trap heat, ours sets it free. Made without polyurethane foams and crafted with natural latex, cotton, and wool. Breathable, comfortable, and supportive. No overheating, just clean, organic sleep that performs. Save 15% on our award-winning mattresses this July 4th sale. Avocado, celebrate organic. Shop at avocadomattress.com or leading retailers nationwide.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by the renowned Irish musician Sharon Shannon to talk about her upcoming documentary, Tradfluencer, the Sharon Shannon story, which airs tonight at 9:35 on RTE1. Sharon, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Shane. Lovely to meet you, yourself and Kira.
Lovely to meet you too, and thanks a million for talking to us. How do you feel about the documentary tonight? You've probably seen it. Are you nervous about it, or how do you feel about it?
I am, of course, a bit nervous. It's hard not to be, but I have seen an unfinished version of it, and I am so, yeah, you know, nervous and excited, of now, course. I'm looking forward to my friends seeing it, and I'm so grateful to my two friends, Jenny and Carl, that made it, and grateful to them for all their patience, yeah. Endless.
So I've heard you speak in the past, even though, like, you're used to getting up in front of large crowds and performing, that you can sometimes you find being on camera a bit nerve-wracking. But this is kind of a documentary that's very different. It's quite immersive. They followed you for a long period of time, 18 months. So that must have presented its challenges, did it?
Well, they were really, you know, they didn't kind of interfere. You know, when they came to gigs and stuff like that, you hardly noticed them. They were amazing. They were so professional, and they didn't really get in anyone's way whatsoever. It was kind of like fly on the wall type of a thing, really, that they were filming, apart from when they did the few interviews. You'd get used to having them around after a while, yeah.
So a lot of it obviously is about you and your life and your touring and so on. There's also some pretty big name guests as well, friends of yours, Adam Clayton, Mike Scott, Steve Earle, Paul Brady. Not bad people to have singing your praises on a documentary.
Oh God, it's just like I'm so grateful to them. They were so kind with their lovely words, and I was completely blown away when I saw all the beautiful things that they were saying. So you know,
Sharon,
I suppose they're hardly going to come on and start giving out.
No, hardly. But it is unusual for an instrumentalist. I know that you do sometimes backing vocals and things, and I know you can sing, but you're primarily known as an instrumentalist, as a musician. First name recognition as an instrumentalist is rare. And how did it come about? Obviously, you had collaborations with the Waterboys, and then, of course, a Woman's Heart. Was that really the big break of? You would have been very well known in trad circles before that, but was that the kind of the crossover time?
Yeah, probably a mixture between the Waterboys. I think because of I have an awful lot to thank my good friend Mike Scott for, and Steve Wickham. You know, being in the Waterboys was an amazing thing. I really, you know, had a fantastic time being in the Waterboys. But I'd say the success of my first album, having the Waterboys audience, was a huge factor in that. So that would have been, I'd say, a huge, big first step in the success of the first album, and then the two tracks from the first album being included in the Woman's Heart, and as you know, then the Woman's Heart became this amazing
phenomenon,
thing.
Really, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sharon, bring us back to the beginning, because look, obviously, you grew up in the. You think of Clare, being the home of traditional music. Mm. But was there always music in the house growing up?
when we were small kids, anytime any Irish music came on the radio, it was turned up full blast. And even though and the reception used to be terrible in our house, so when they tried to turn up the radio, it was more crackling than music, with the noise of the distortion. But it was exciting always when Irish music came on in the radio, because my parents would be up dancing, and they used to dance a thing called the Caledonian set, which is the Clare set, from County Clare. And they taught the rest of us how to dance when we were small kids. They taught us the set and waltzes and stuff like that. And then when my brother Gary was about 11, I'd say, they sent him to Tin Whistle classes in the local village of Corrifin. And Gary's the oldest of four siblings, and he taught the rest of us at home then the whistles.
Wow.
And we were got on brilliant with the whistles, and a few years later then Gary decided to take up the concert flute, the wooden flute. And of course we all wanted to copy Gary and take up the wooden flute as well, but
yeah,
it was Gary's idea that we'd all take up different instruments. And he named out all these different instruments that we could possibly have, like a fiddle and the pipes and the bowron and the harp and the accordion. And as soon as he said accordion, it was like a little bell went off in my head.
That was the one for you.
Yeah. And I had memories of my Uncle Eamon in Liscannor, in North Clare, playing a tiny little accordion when we used to visit Eamon, Kathleen, my auntie and uncle. And he used to take down this little old dusty, tiny little accordion from a very high shelf. And I remember being mesmerised by the thing and fascinated with it, and just the look of it and the sound of it. And I just thought it was a real magical little instrument. But we were never allowed to try play it or anything. So they were probably afraid that we'd break it or something.
When did you kind of realise, actually, do you know what? This is more than just a passion. This is kind of what I'm going to do.
Well, I was playing music all through my teens and loving it, of course, but it never entered my head for one second that it would be something that I could do for a living, because, you know, there was a huge pressure in school to get a real job, and I had a lot of pressure from home as well to get a proper job, as they call it, you know, really something, you know, secure, of course. And playing music for a living didn't enter my head at all until years later, when I think I was probably about 17 when I started going to Doolin in North Clare. It's a great place, haven for Irish music, and visitors come to Doolin from all over the world to hear the music. Mm-hmm. And I ended up playing in Doolin 7 nights a week with the local musicians there, some great friends. I made friends for life in Doolin. And my friends in Doolin, in particular Owen O'Neill, the Zulki player in Doolin, he said to me, look, you could, because he knew the pressure that I was under at home to make a decision and go to college and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, make something of my life. And
I think that one, the jury is in on that one, that you certainly have made something. Can I just ask you, Sharon, is it all about the music, or does Tradfluencer get a bit personal as well? Because I know you lost your long-term partner Leo back in 2008, and then I know you spent a period of time when you were with actually his brother, and does it get into all the aspects of your life? Because that can be sometimes feel exposing for people. Is it that too?
There is a lot of personal stuff in it, I suppose, which was a bit difficult to talk about.
Yeah, no, I was wondering, because it doesn't come naturally to all of us, particularly Irish people, to share intimate stuff about our lives or personal stuff. So a documentary is a bit like that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes when you're doing interviews, you feel like, oh my God, my own mother wouldn't ask me that.
My apologies, Sharon.
No, I'm not saying that about you or about any of the documentary, but sometimes when you're doing interviews, it feels like, oh my God, am I going to answer this when I haven't even asked myself that question?
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you get asked questions that You're too scared to even ask yourself.
Yeah, very fair.
Well, you're such an honest person. I'm sure there's it'll come across really, really well. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, thank you, Shane.
40 years in the business, and there'll be another one. I suspect a follow up documentary in another 40 years, because no doubt your career is going to continue to blossom. The Sharon's Tradfluencer, the Sharon Shannon story, airs tonight, 9:35 on RT1. Sharon Shannon, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Shane, and thank you, Ciara. And thank you to all the listeners.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through Geico, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.